go to our Bible classes. Let's turn to hymn number 160. Hymn number 160. Down at the cross where my Savior died, downward for cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. O precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
Ask Brother Tony if he would to lead your mind in word prayer, please.
Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to come here this Lord's Day morning. Thankful for You watching over us through the night and giving us another day upon Your earth. We're thankful for Your Son, our Savior, for the sacrifice that was made on the cross on our behalf. We pray that we will never take that sacrifice for granted. And we are indeed thankful for the Word in which You have left us to study upon, learn how to conduct our lives, that we will have that chance of hope for eternal life in heaven. Father, we pray for those teachers this morning that have prepared their lessons. We pray that they will have a ready remembrance in what they have studied, and that they will present it in a way that's well-pleasing indeed. Father, we pray for the work that's being done here at River Ridge. We pray that much good will come from it. We pray that we'll always be a shining light here in this community. We pray that You be with us now throughout this hour. Be our ever-abiding guest. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
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 Morning, all. I use that term relatively. All of us are here who are here, but we do have some that are gone this morning. We know Chuck and Debbie are over at Northwest East Hope Team meeting over there today. I know TJ's out of town, and I'm not sure who else we know will be gone. But we'll have those in our announcements today. But we appreciate those who are here, and I'll be teaching the class this morning, then Mike has the lesson this afternoon. Mark Nevins is working, right? So we're talking to Larry about that today, so that's where he is also. We're in Romans chapter 15. Everybody turn there. We need lots of participation today, but this is a good subject I think we can all participate in. We just finished Romans chapter 14 last week after a couple of weeks Romans chapter 14 talks about matters of opinion, not putting a stumbling block in front of our brethren. And then in Romans chapter 15, we kind of continue with the same thoughts, kind of interacting with our brethren, how we, a different way that we'll interact with our brethren here. Talking about self-denial kind of and deferring to each other. So I think there's a lot of good text here in just the first maybe six verses, and I want to take just the first two verses. We'll read that and then talk about those and work through there, but I don't really expect us to get through a whole lot this morning, maybe through maybe verse 8 or so if we have a lot of discussion, but this is a really meaty subject here, and I think we can really get a lot out of that. So Dave, you want to read Romans chapter 15? We'll start in the back. Read the first two verses, and then we'll talk about these first two verses.
I command you to Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea.
Romans 15, 1 and 2.
15.
We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us his neighbor for his good, leading to edification.
All right, so thinking about these verses as we who are strong, so it sounds like Paul is including himself in this we. And Paul being an apostle and being a very strong Christian, we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of the weak. The weak, those who are without strength, and not just please ourselves. So, you know, I'm thinking that strong and weak are pretty relative terms. So, if you're a strong brother and you're supposed to bear the weaknesses of those who are weak, then how are you supposed to know who's weak? And if you're feeling weak, how are your brethren supposed to know that you're weak and you need to be, you know, supported by somebody who's stronger? So those kind of some of the thoughts I wanted to talk about. I mean, all of us, I'm sure, at some time have felt really strong, and another time we felt weak, you know, in the faith. It's like, I really need somebody to come up and give me a hug, or I need somebody to come up and, you know, talk to me about what's bothering me that I can that maybe assist them. So, you know, how do you feel when you're strong? What are some of the things that you think of when you think that I'm feeling really strong as a Christian right now? Dave?
Now, weakness, is that talking about physical only?
No. This is talking about spiritual. But, I mean, obviously we all know when we're weak physically and when we feel strong physically, our aches and pains let us know that. But this is talking about from the spiritual matter. Trey, did your hand kind of go up there?
No, I was going to say something about sometimes on the weak part of it, that a person doesn't always necessarily have to say that they're weak. Sometimes you can just see by maybe their attendance isn't where it used to be, or you can see that they're kind of falling off on an in that they weren't before, and that's when you can try to build it up. They're not always
going to
ask.
Right, and that's the thing I kind of want to speak about. And then, you know, I feel really strong when my prayer life is good, right? So when I'm praying, and then some days I feel like I just haven't addressed God in some of the situations that I should have. Today I've been trying to do things myself, you know, without relying on God or asking for God for my support. You know, every time I take off driving on the weekend, you know, I've got a 6-hour drive. That's the first thing, you know, that I'm praying about is safety, you know, in traveling there. So, you know, I feel really strong when I'm praying. So if someone was to come to me and say, you know, I haven't prayed as much as I should, I really need you to pray for me because my prayer life has been so good. So then, but they're noticing in their life is a weakness, then I think in that case, you know, if my prayer life is good, then I can support them because I can pray for them, right? Well, I mean, how terrible is it then when somebody comes to you and says, I need your prayers, and you think, I'm just really been down. You know, I don't feel real strong right now. And then they're coming to me asking me for their support, and I can pray for them, but I think, you know, I've got a lot of things in my life that I need to I need to be stronger here, and I need to be stronger there, yet they see me as strong, so they're coming to me recognizing that they're weak and they need my support. And, you know, I'm the one who just went to somebody last week and said, I need your support. So, you know, I think it's a relative term in that we always need to understand how we relate to others. And we may see somebody as, I think, because of some situation, I think you might be weak right now, where they might think they're really strong. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they are.
And this is just if you're with a person that's asking, as far as, I mean, we have, I mean, there's weak brothers and sisters that don't realize they're weak.
Right, and that's what I'm saying, it's relative. They think I'm strong, and we see that, might see that there's a lot of things in their life based on scripture that could be improved, right? So a weakness is, I mean, sometimes when you look at somebody and say you're weak, it only means you're not as strong as you should be. Not that I see that you're, you know, falling apart. So building up ourselves in strength, you know, we need to be able to do that and study and pray so that we know where our life is when somebody asks us when they're support.
I've had somebody in my high school do that. But I guess I was blessed with a sense of humor because it keeps me on strong. And when they asked me, I just prayed right there with them, and that made me more stronger. But if my sense of humor kicked in, or I would build them up, because the thing that you say that can make a person smile and make a person laugh.
Right, but then the timing is, I think, is the timing of that. When somebody comes to you and says, I need to, will you pray for me?
Let's do it right,
right
now.
Let's do it, just do it now. Let's, the urgency of, so that's one thing I've thought about a lot, is that the timing of when we've sinned and when we feel weak, and then how long we live in that before we, you know, repent and before we turn to God and say, you know, I haven't been as strong as I should be, please accept my repentance, you know, and help me be stronger. You know, if you've told a lie, you just told a lie, then is it, well, if I repent 5 minutes later, does that mean my heart really changed? Did I really go to that person and tell them, you know, I just told you a lie. That was wrong. How long do we stay in that before we fix that? That kind of gray area. You know, none of us want to live in that gray area, because that's sin, and it's separate. We're separated from God. So. Well, we don't want to do that.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. It's the things that people say that'll make a person either take a person off, or you keep them with a smile. And I prefer a smile to a loud face.
Right, I think we all prefer a smile and a glad face, you know, somebody that can comfort us. So I think talking about this, it should make us want to be strong, because the stronger I am, then the more I can assist somebody who's either I see as weak, or who comes to me and says that they're weak and says, you know, I need your support. Because if my life's not right, and they come to me and say, please assist me, and I say, you know, inside me, I'm saying, I can't help you. I'm not telling them that. You know, I may not say that to them, convey it to them. But they come to me and say, well, I was going to come to you. I was going to come to you and say, I need your support. And you came to me and said, I need your support. So, you know, we're in this together. We're supporting each other. And so this, you know, the strong, in this case, bearing up those who are weak, not to just please ourselves. So how many of us get up in the morning, the first thing we think of is, who else can I help today, right? I mean, most of us get up in the morning and think of, what's on my to-do list today, right? Or what are the things I have to get done today? And a lot of times, that's not helping, you know, somebody else. Or not to say that we don't help anybody else, but a lot of times, first thing we're thinking of is, what's on my list of things to do?
Well, I always feel like that I'm both. Sometimes I feel strong, sometimes I don't. I think that's kind of consistent with a lot of us. It's our daily things happen in our lives. Lose people we love, creates a lot of emotion, grief, all those things.
That's just an example.
Right.
So I don't know that we've, I feel like sometimes that it's kind of like a lower culture. Strength and weakness doesn't, we get troubles. We get consistently weak or consistently think we're really doing so hot.
Right.
But my life has always been a roller coaster. I can't speak for anybody else. I have, thankfully, I have better days than bad days.
Right, more good than bad.
And sometimes that's perspective. Sometimes we truly have bad things that happen to us.
That's right.
That we really cannot help. And it's a struggle. But we do have, you know, we have songs that we sing in our songbooks. It's always about, we have a friend in Jesus, example.
Right.
It's always about our friendship with God. A friend is somebody that you trust, is always looking out. Would do things never to hurt you, always to help you.
Right.
I think that's one of the lessons that helps me. That's on that end. And I've got Christian family that I look to. They don't know that they're helping me sometimes. You see. But they're helping me by just talking, you know, being my friend or whatever.
Right. Just it's that give and take.
Yeah.
You know, that sometimes we're the taker, sometimes we're the giver. Sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug, right? Dave?
Whenever we do something good for someone else, it really makes you feel, have a good feeling that, you know, we've been able to be a spot where we can help someone else. It just builds itself, doesn't it?
Right. All of us want to be in that position where somebody comes to us and says, you know, I need your help, and you help them, and, you know, it's not even a second thought. It's like, you know, please come to me more. Did I see another hand?
I always think it builds you up when you fellowship with your Christian family outside of services, you know, like when we all get together at a house and have something to eat or watch a football game, or because who's really tempted with sin when you're with your brethren? I mean, it's just, you're so much stronger in force like that, and it's easier when your friends are also your fellow Christians.
Right. Breathing insulation and drywall dust is good things for you.
It helps. It helps.
Mike?
No, looking at this, one of the things that I heard the priest put sometimes we need to be willing to get our hands dirty, I guess, with some situations as far as, you know, maybe we shouldn't look at it as, you know, I'll go to Tim and ask for his help, because at some point Tim will be able to help me, you know, because he has a lot to offer or something like that. But this person over here, I'm not sure I'll really get involved with them too much, because I'm not sure if they can help me or anything like that. It shouldn't be any sort of thing on my part to look at the situation like that. It should be, I think, as you pointed out here in verse 2, is that we need to do good, you know, to all, and try and help and build up, regardless of, you know, regardless of the situation. You know, sometimes, unfortunately, some people are involved because of past choices and pretty bad situations in life. You know, when we kind of look at that, we might think, you know, I don't want to be involved in kind of all this, but, you know, it's our responsibility to do so if it comes to that.
I think that's one of the challenges that we have, you know, just looking at moving from here to the building. Once we get to the building, you know, hopefully we'll grow in number, but if we don't, then it won't be because we haven't been reaching out. But the larger we get, the harder it's going to be to have this, you know, tight unity. But that doesn't mean it can't happen, right? So it just means you have to spread yourself a little thinner, and you have to put out more effort, right? So, and just think about how many more people would you have that are there to support you, right? I mean, that's just a positive thing that, you know, when we think about that. You know, even some of the smaller groups that when I travel and I work with them, I see, you know, Wednesday night there's 10 or 12 people there, and I think, but how close those 10 or 12 people are, because that's their whole core group. To them, when they're down to 3, that's when they think they're small, right? Well, we got everybody there when we're at 12. So I think just being able to support each other when we can. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2 as a reference here. chapter, verse 3 and 4. Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4. So, Mike, you want to read that?
Philippians 2, 3 and 4.
Right.
Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for one person's interest, but also the interest of others.
All right, so we know how important it is to be communicating with each other to find out, you know, what do you need today? You know, call somebody up and say, what can I do for you this week? You know, there's a need at the building. We need people to, you know, bring food on Saturday. We need this during the week. You know, just but that cost of communication. You know, Chuck's really good at sending out, you know, updates and here's what's going on and just trying to. And I'm sure a lot of you, you know, call and talk and text and, you know, think that, you know, we aren't even aware about with each other, just trying to keep up with each other and what's going on with each other's lives and how you can help and things like that. So I think supporting each other is a great thing. Now, on the flip side of that, does Satan want us to support each other? No. What's Satan want us to do, Kim? What's he want us to do? Right. He doesn't want us to do anything, and
not know each other,
and he wants us to tear each other down, right? And he would just assume that, you know, you just, you know, backbite and, you know, stab each other and just pick each other apart, and then because of that, then you're not going to be strong because you just rip each other to shreds because, you know, Tina didn't wear purple today, right? Everybody else did. No. But something, what I mean is, things that trivial that brethren, you know, will let get in the way sometimes of being close to each other.
But it doesn't, I mean, yeah, you're right. I'm not saying you're not right. But just not knowing people is a big thing. I mean, when you don't know who you are, it's just like Teresa. You know, to have friends that you hang out with outside, you know, that you're, you know, you see them at, you know, at worship, and then you see them outside. I mean, there's nothing better than that. But when you get, I'll never forget, we had a bunch of people get together one time, and, you know, and they're like, do you know that this person has a dog? Do you know that they have, no one knew anything about each other. It's like, how is that possible? You know, we're supposed to be a family, and you don't know this about me, and I don't know that about you. You know, it really can tear that foundation apart.
I think we can be very close on the surface sometimes without really getting to know each other one-on-one. You have a lot of gatherings, but we don't individually get to know each other as family.
You know where I came from? That is how people are there. They do not want to know. They do not want to speak. You have to make them speak. They don't want to know you. They don't care. S can get up there and talk about hospitality and all of that. These people, they just go there for a show. So it's attitude and the wrong heart. They have the hearts in the wrong spot. But God knows who they are, because from what I hear on my Facebook, some of them have reaped what they sowed over there, and they didn't like the consequences. But you brought it on your own side. Because why keep going? That's serving two masters to me.
Right. I mean, we all know that it takes effort. I mean, it takes effort to get to know somebody. It takes effort to have somebody over and make a meal. And, you know, I mean, all of us like to just, all of us like to just sit around in our sweats and just, you know, stay inside the house and just do nothing, right? Sometimes just, you know, watch your ball game or watch your TV or read a book or, you know, study or whatever we want to do that's just kind of relaxing. It's kind of my time, right? And when it's my time, I don't want to take anybody else. I want to take time for somebody else until the phone rings and somebody says, my car won't start, or this, you know, we just, in that case, a lot of times we just drop whatever and we help them out. And that's the challenge that we have, is always make sure that our day is not so full of, you know, 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock, I'm doing this, 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 and this, and nothing is going to take, you know, the place of that. We have to be flexible with our time. When something else comes up that's important, and we need to be able to shift things around and, you know, multitask so that we can help our brothers and sisters when they ask, if we can grow stronger. So, yeah, Satan wants us to give him that mindset where you don't have to know me, you know, you don't need to know me, and we don't want to get caught up in that.
And it's very important to get to know your brothers and sisters, because that's the only way you're going to know if you need to pray for them. And plus, you know, it's edification to be with them. And when you are hospitable and you ask, you know, somebody over or whatever, you know, you don't do it in a mind frame of expecting that back to a person that you are inviting over either. You know, you just do it to, you know, for the love of doing it. You know, you just do it. And I hope that people don't, you know, if they do, you know, because we've invited people over that said no, you know, and I hope it's not because they think that they have to have us over, you know, and I hope that, you know, is not the case. We do it because we love to do it. We love to be with, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ.
And sitting around over a meal, I mean, that's when, you know, eating dessert, drinking coffee afterwards or whatever, you know, that's a time you get to know people and you kind of talk with them. And, you know, it's great that we all get together, but sometimes, you know, it's very surface, you know, but we are talking about things that, I'm not saying it's not a great time, it's that that's not really the time sometimes you get to know somebody on an in-depth level. Okay, let's move on to any other questions about verses 1 and 2. Okay, let's move on to verse 3 and verse 4. So, Stacy, you want to go ahead and read those?
For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Whatever things were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope.
Right, so, you know, our example of what we're talking about is Christ. You know, he didn't please himself. You know, he came here because it was the will of the Father, and he did the Father's will. So, if we're to follow Jesus, and we see, you know, what Jesus did was walk this line, and I'm walking this line, am I following him? No. I think that's where, you know, the denominational world gets a lot mixed up, is that, well, we're all going to the same place, and eventually I think I'm going to end up in heaven going this way. But when, you know, Christ paved a path that went like this, then if we're not behind him following those steps, if we're out here deviating and thinking that we could take shortcuts or, you know, take extra steps, then we're fooling ourselves, is that, you know, he's the pattern for us. And I mean, I don't know, a lot of the women have ever sold, so I assume most of you did at some point in time, made something out of a pattern, but I don't know how many times you ripped it up because you got it fixed, because you made it, and it didn't look like it was supposed to. So, you know, if men are trying to, you know, to build something that's supposed to look like a shed, and by the time you get through with it, it looks like a doghouse, right? You didn't follow the pattern very well. And so, you know, even as Christ didn't please himself, we know that he went to the cross. He prayed in the garden, you know, not my will, but your will be done. So, you know, it's, if we don't look at him as the kind of example that we should be, then I think we're, you know, we're losing it. We need to pattern our lives just like his. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Verses 5-11. Philippians 2, 5-11. So, Sandy, take a couple, and then we'll come up to Andrew and Charlotte and work that way. Philippians 2, 5-11. Just two verses till we get through 11.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. But being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Therefore, God also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth.
Right, so he humbled himself to the point of become obedient to the point of death. So the example that, you know, he is to us, that, you know, that he gave himself. And so we need to pattern our lives after him. Just like we talked about in the first couple of verses there about looking out for others. If Jesus didn't look out for us as being, you know, the weak, the people that he needed, you know, to die for, then how can we look at somebody else thinking, I need to humble myself, I need to give of myself, because Christ gave to me, therefore, you know, I need to help. I mean, that's, I think that's the attitude we have sometimes. It's like, you know, I got this windfall, you know, and so money or whatever, this great thing happened to me, but then I'm not going to pass it on when I have an opportunity to do that. Same thing when I'm driving and I get to some traffic area, you know, and everybody's three lanes going down into two, and somebody lets me in. You know, thankfully I got in, and then now somebody zips in front of me and wants to cut in. You know, I'm thinking, well, I'm not going to let you in, but somebody just let me in. So I need to reciprocate just like they did, so that, you know, I it doesn't just, maybe I should do it twice. You know, somebody let me in once, I'll need two people in. Truck drivers are really good at, you know, doing that, but just trying to pass it on. You know, people call it pay it forward now. You know, do something good, you know, for somebody that they really didn't expect you to do. So he's thinking about how Christ was that example for us, and that we're his followers. We should do the same thing. Yeah.
I just think that's funny. Pay it forward. Aren't we taught that? Mm-hmm. Doing to others as you would have them do to you.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, hey, I don't know. I just think that's funny. I mean, because it's just this new thing, you know, that's what everyone's like, oh, we need to pay it forward. I'm like, I've been taught my whole life to do that. I mean,
right.
That's
it just wasn't called that, right?
Like, yeah. It's a new thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, you see it everywhere, and I'm like, I teach my kids that every day, you know, every day. You know, like, that's not what we do. We, you know, we act the way we do things for people that we want them to do to us. You know, every day, you know. And they have that new, and it's like, oh, pay it forward. And which is great. I'm glad that people see it now. You know, that if they treat people nicely, then people will treat them nicely in return, you know. But you just want to say, well, let me show you.
And that's one of the most powerful things, I think, a teaching tool that a parent has. You know, when their child does something like that, and you say, would you want somebody to do that to you? And you know, then they understand, no, I don't. But then, and they didn't realize they did. They just did it. That's the same thing. You know, we're like that. We're taught that. Just because we're taught something doesn't mean we do it 100% of the time, right? We know better, but we don't do sometimes. Was there Nancy?
I was just saying, it's just funny how some of the things from the Bible, people put a different spin on it to make it look like it's them, something that they came up with. And yet you always go back to the basics of the word. It's there. It's only there. They just don't want to admit it.
Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun, right? So pay it forward is just another term for saying do unto others as you would have to do unto you. You know, just be nice, you know, do the things that we should, be the example that we should be. And then in this case, we're talking about, you know, the example of Christ pouring himself out for us, and then we should do the same. Now, verse 4, I had some thoughts here about when it was written in earlier times, was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and courage, as a scripture, we might have hope. So, I mean, to us, whatever was written before, you know, we're in 2014 now. When did the printing press came out? It came out in 16-something, the Gutenberg printing press, where they could mass-produce, you know, printing and all. So, you know, what was written before time, that we've always had this, you know, we as in our life. But when you think about back then and how they, when they gathered to worship together, you think they all walked in with their scrolls, you know, under their arms, meeting here. I mean, they didn't have printed Bibles. All of them didn't have, you know, some sort of the scriptures were written from, you know, the scribes maybe did, and other people did, but they, you know, in the time we're reading about here in the first century, I mean, they had they had letters, you know, that had been written and copied and given to other, to other churches and from them. So they had something, but they didn't have what we have here as far as scripture. Not saying that their Christianity is any different than ours. I'm just saying, talking about what was written before, we have a, you know, a hard copy of everything that was written before that we pay attention to. So we pray and then you should answer.
I don't, and myself personally, I don't think he's talking about that. I think he's talking about the old law. What was written before was for our learning, the old law, not the letters that we're reading today as of the New Testament. I think he's referencing the old law.
And I agree. Okay. I agree. All I was trying to say is the old law they had access to as their religion, right?
As their way of life.
As their way of life, right? Right. So I guess what I'm saying is, for here, for whatever was written in earlier times, was written for our instruction, right? But what they had before was written for their instruction, even though it was the old law, right? That they might have hope. You know, now God, in verse 5, now made the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be the same mind. Well, he's trying to get them to come together, the Jews and the Gentiles. We're not quite there yet in the study here. All I was trying to see was differences between them and us as far as how we worship and what we have and what they didn't have and how they're a little different. I mean, they didn't have songbooks, right, when they got together to sing. They just sang, right? We have a songbook and all that.
Well, most people back then didn't read and write anyway, because everything was taught by whoever was the leader, the prophet, the teacher at the time. So everything that they heard came from them, and they didn't have anything to write down or take notes. And everything they heard, and that's why the teacher going back at them again was always to help keep them in mind of that. So, you know, everything that they read about the law, these are your instructions, and you do them. So they didn't have something to reference back to in the Bible, or even in a scroll, because they didn't read.
Right. So, you know, that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So, you think the old law took any perseverance trying to keep it? Yeah. And encouragement is that, you know, even though here's all these things I have to do, you know, the encouragement is that you still strive to do it, and you still encourage each other, you know, to do that.
Well, also, all the times they fell away and they came back, and the Lord took them back. You know, all the times they went into captivity and He saved them. I mean, you go back and read all the battles. I mean, the Lord absorbed them. I mean, they didn't need anything, you know. One time, you know, He kept the sun, and, you know, I mean, He was always with them. You know, when they were for Him, He was for them. You know, He even tells them, you know, before they go into the land, blessings and curses. You know, He says, you stay with me, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to give you this. And if you don't, you know, this is going to happen to you. You know, I mean, how do you not get hope from that? You know, if you stay with me, then I'm always going to be, you know, I'm going to do this anyway. But, you know, I mean, He tells them in the Old Testament. You stay with me, and I'm going to give you good things. You know, I see we say that to our kids too, and then
Well, and that example to us is that even with all that, they still fell away, right?
But but again, he always took them, and they repented. He always took them back too.
And we know that He'll do the same for us. See, anything else on verses 3 and 4? Okay, Lori, let's read verses 5 and 6.
Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may be with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
So how hard do you think it was for the Jews and Gentiles to be in one accord? I mean, the Jews looked down on the Gentiles, you know, they were the chosen. The Gentiles probably looked at the Jews as, you know, you think you're better than us. And yet, the two groups, you know, are now together as Christians. And, you know, having the mindset of being Christians, we know that we're now brethren. Yet, culturally, you know, we're so different. And so, I think that's, sometimes we all come into being a Christian with some kind of baggage, you know, our past or whatever, and we all have to lay that aside and know that, you know, we're all equal. And that with one accord is what we see in verse 5. To be of the same mind with one another according to Christ, you may with one voice glorify God. So when we're singing to God, I mean, we're all singing with one voice, you know, a congregation, a collection of Christians singing a song, you know, with one voice. And that's why it doesn't matter to God what we sound like, you know, to our ears. It's what it goes up to Him as, if we're a collective group here singing a song, so that, you know, praising God. So perseverance and encouragement. I mean, I think that's to be of the same mind. Though it's not easy for us always to be of the same mind. Sometimes we have differences. We talked about that, you know, in the previous chapter on opinions. So we shouldn't let opinions and try to take control of doctrine. You know, doctrine is one thing. Having an opinion when we can defer to somebody else and let whatever they think is not an issue with whether we're doctrinally sound or not. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 7. Corinthians 1, 3 through 7. Carrie, you have that? And it'll come up to tell me. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 7.
2.
Oh, yeah, 2.
Blessed be the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God.
For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, for our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer, or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation.
And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also we partake of the consolation.
Right, so as a group, being comforted by the things that we share together, and we have a common salvation, when we suffer, you know, so when one of us suffers, we all should be suffering. That one accord that we need to have, you know, being bound together, being united in you know, one thought and one voice. There's a song that our song with that I've been listening to. We sang it when we traveled somewhere. The tune just stayed in my head. It's called "Bind Us Together," and hopefully I'll lead it here in a month or so. Get better at it. It's just that kind of a song. Just, you know, bind us together with love that cannot be broken. You know, that regardless of what comes through here, you know, that no matter what strife we have or what issues we have, that we'll be strong enough, you know, have a strong enough bond that nothing can, you know, cause us to break the one accord that we have here. That we all want to serve God, and we all want to go to heaven, and we all want to support each other. I think those are the kind of things that we're talking about this morning, is having that perseverance and that one voice. You know, thinking about perseverance and all, sometimes I think we want that says God is patient, that we want God to be, you know, on our time schedule. We want him to hurry up. I mean, I've been praying for this. Just hurry up and answer. You know, hurry up and give me what I'm asking for. You know, instead of waiting for God, you know, on his time. You know, and sometimes that answer, like Paul, you know, after three times in the thorn of the flesh, it came back and said, Paul was accepting that, okay, this isn't going to happen. I'm going to accept that it is and move on. So sometimes we, doesn't mean that we should quit praying for something, right? If we want something strong enough, we should continue to pray. But is the answer always yes? Right? And sometimes the answer may be no, just accept that and move on. Put your attention somewhere else. I mean, we can put an awful lot of our energy sometimes in something that is not profitable for us because, you know, we're just like yesterday working on that one angled room. You know, we kind of gave up on trying to get that ceiling done in the one room that had the angles in because it was just taking too much of our time. We just moved on. Let's do other things and get some things accomplished, and we can come back to that later. We're not putting all of our efforts into something that we see as, you know, not being profitable for us. And I think that's where we can be smarter sometimes and work in a smarter way. And as Christians, we can do that with one another. And it's glorifying God with our one voice. And we can't do that with contentions. You know, I'm sure a lot of us have been places where we just felt like there was, you know, strife or whatever amongst the congregation. And then when you're singing, you're praying, you're thinking, my head's not right with this. There's just, you know, I see things, brothers and sisters that are at each other, and yet we're trying to glorify God here by, you know, bringing our voices together in song. It's like we're just, you know, God knows what our hearts are like, right, when we're singing. So if our hearts are not right, then what I'm providing, you know, at least as far as my part in it, is not, you know, finding favor in God. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean because I'm not right that the rest of the congregation is not united, and, you know, God is still seeing that what is being done, the praise is there. It's just that my part in it may be, you know, I may not be part of it if I don't have my heart right. So we've got to be in one accord, and that's where each individually, we have to do our part to make sure that we're in the right frame of mind. But when we take the Lord's Supper, you know, if Warren, you know, has a different mindset than I do, and I'm thinking of, you know, a football game that's this afternoon, and he's thinking about what he's supposed to, the death on the cross, that doesn't affect him, and my mind's not right. So we don't affect each other sometimes in that way, but being of one accord, what we're going to do this morning, when Mike delivers the sermon, we're going to be attentive to the sermon. We're all going to be thinking about the message that's there. When we sing the song today, we're going to be thinking about those things. Take the Lord's Supper. Those are the things that we're telling everyone we're focusing on. But individually, you know, we have to be doing our part to participate in that. Just because the group is right doesn't mean if I'm wrong that I'm okay with my service to God. So, you know, I've got to be right in that as well. I was thinking about that sweet savor we talk about, and sometimes, you know, people will talk about it in their prayers about, you know, God asks us to, you know, to think about him, to have the right heart, to have the right attitude, you know, when we worship him. And, you know, for me, when I'm grilling and those smells, you know, or walk into a house when a roast has been cooking or something like that, that sweet savor is just like all those things come together. You know, the fact that I'm hungry, the fact that it smells good, the fact that it might be one of my favorite foods, you know, those things that come together, and you think it just makes that moment so special. Just think about what God is requesting of us to do as his children, and how pleased we are when our children do something that we know that they're supposed to do. You know, I taught you this, and not only did I teach you that, but you did it. That makes us feel so good. And just thinking about, you know, our our minds are not anywhere near what God's thoughts are. But the fact that we know that what we're doing, when we're doing what we're supposed to do as Christians, that God is so pleased with us by having served Him as we should. So I think those are just a great thought to have. So yeah, we're our time's out. I thank you for participation, and then next week Chuck will be back, and he'll pick up here probably in verse 7.
I have not, no.